Plenty of barred rooms in there, and a place for staff to meet or take a break, have some lunch before they go back and jab somebody with a shock stick. That's the prison. I'm going to agree with you on that. Knowing her, he not only felt her fury, but shared it. And, knowing her, he kept his tone as cool as hers. It's tucked too far away from everything else to serve efficiently as storage, he added. And the schematics on the security system add weight to that prison. Bring them up. I think my eyes are about to bleed. She closed them. But when she opened them again, she still saw a lot of lines, graphics, incomprehensible terms and figures. I'm going back to coffee. I'll join you there and explain this to you. I have more covering the walls and that prison building, still more on the main house and so on. It's a very complex and comprehensive system. In addition to alarms throughout, there are motion sensors in some areas, alerts should anyone attempt to jam or hack the system. Okay. Oh, there's more. He said it cheerfully, like someone about to start an entertaining game. Lights, sirens. The walls are outfitted with a shock system. This, and more still, would be over and above any human or droid patrols. She handed him coffee. Here's what we're gonna do. You know the system. I do indeed. Or, more accurately, the systems, as there are three systems combined, intertwined and in layers. It's very well done. You're not going to explain it all to me, or we'll be here for a month. What you're gonna do is look at this, the systems, and the main house to start, like it has a zillion hot white diamonds inside, and you want them. You're gonna figure out how you'd get in, get to every one of these buildings, and steal the shit out of them. His lips curved slowly. Well, then, wouldn't that be fun? It's just you and me here, Ace. Find the weak spots and be a thief. He studied the schematics, and his smile only spread. I can do that. Before he started, his link signaled. Ah, that's perfect as well. I have the security schematics and the blueprints from the island community. How'd you find time to get those already and what we've got going here? Delegating. Somerset, and don't snarl, handled this. I want to snarl, but I can't because we need it. How'd he get it? Don't tell me. She quickly waved even the thought of it away. Just send it to Whitney. He'll get it to Abernathy, and we'll hope they don't ask too many questions. There's always an answer that will suit if necessary. You'll feel better knowing that since the block in Tribeca wasn't actually built by natural order, Feeney's team is getting those blueprints. My system again, so the security's easy to access. You'll have that shortly. Now, he rolled his shoulders. Hot white diamonds, is it? Zillions. I've always been fond of them. He sat down at one of the computers, rolled up his sleeves, tied his hair back. If I can build it, I can break it. It starts with the walls. She'd spent nearly her entire career as a murder cop. She'd never chased down a master thief unless a murder was involved, and had never considered exactly what went into planning a theft of a highly secured building, much less multiple buildings. Apparently, at least some of it involved math. What looked to her like really big math, like calculus or physics. Before it gave her a headache, she left him to it. She took the other computer and began her own calculations. Her bare outline of multiple operations and timing and coordination. All assuming Rourke got them over, through, or around the wall. That's that, then. She looked up. What? You're in? That's the wall, and all attached alerts, alarms, deterrents, and so on. You've the gatehouse there, and the best solution would be to just shut it down. Shut down its communications, power. If a guard or guards are inside, well, you'll have to deal with them. We can do that. Look here now. I'm highlighting what I'd consider the best areas to breach the wall. Climbing it's going to be the best of the options, at least until we reactivate the gate from the gatehouse. But I'd stick with a very small number going over and in. I'd want to be over and in before I start shutting down other areas. It needs to be done layer by layer, sector by sector. She didn't need to understand his math to get the picture. Can you show and equip other teams of two, three tops, with one an ECOP, how to take down levels if you and I go over here? You and I? That's right. We go here, front gate, deal with the gatehouse, move on. Other teams go over at your designated points. We start working our way in, shutting things down as we go. All right, I see it. I always kept my team, we'll say, on the very small side, so I'll adjust for expanding that. I need how many we can get inside on the first stage, how long to shut those layers all down so that we can spread out to every area. My focus off the bat is the suspected prison, the main house. But we need to hit it all. Let me work out the how, then I'll give you numbers and times. She had enough to start putting some meat on the bones of her operation. Yes, she could flesh it out now, could start to see. Using a highlighter, she tried different routes in from the breach points he'd chosen, began assigning buildings and structures to each team, with backup coming in as the system shut down. She lost track of time, building layer by layer as Rourke broke layer by layer. He rose, put a hand on her shoulder, then kissed the top of her head. I believe I have it. A bit more refining to do, but I can give you some times and some numbers. I'll take them. From point of entry, each team, I'd keep that to two each with an Iman for three, must, absolutely must, go no more than 15 feet from the wall. Go 15 and an inch, they'll set off the next layer with motion detectors. Got it. From that point, it will take them about 4 minutes, unless I can shave that down more than I have, to take down the next section. 15 feet at a time, Eve. No more. Not a toe over. Slow and steady. Aye, slow and steady. When a team reaches these apartments, these houses, this building, do you see where it's going? A slowly shrinking circle. Yeah, working that slow and steady in. They can adjust the jam. I can have them execute a series of codes, so you must have those ECOPs that will shut down the systems on those specific buildings. Then they can keep moving, keep jamming, keep shutting down while the backup comes in behind them. That would be your part of it to calculate. And I can do that. This doesn't factor patrols. I'll have that handled. Keep going. Each building will have locks, and those require yet another series of codes. Okay. As you'd expect, both the prison and the main house have more layers. She nodded, as she had expected. Top E-man on the prison, you and me on the main house. It's going to take more than an hour, closer to two, to shut it down and to move in the takedown teams. I'm going to work on that, but I doubt we can do it all in less than an hour or 75 minutes. Slow and steady's fine with me. The main house is going to be one of the last to shut down the way it's situated, but by then we'll have backup. We go in, and now the takedown teams pour in. I can see how I can work it. She considered. When all law enforcement's inside, can you reactivate the wall? That would be the easy part. Good. Ants can't scatter if they can't get out of the hill. And here's another question. She asked, rejected, accepted. He refined, she fleshed out. And when she felt she had it solid, she went to her commander, coordinated with Abernathy, then with Teasdale, then with Rio. 20. With Rourke back in EDD, working out any kinks with Feeney, she sat down at her desk to think, to pick at any flaws. Boots up, coffee in hand, she flipped through the various stages of her many-pronged operation on her wall screen. Baxter tapped on her door jamb. Want good news, boss? Since he carried evidence bags in his hands, Eve swung her boots off the desk. Have you got something in there that nails Miriam Wilkie to Ariel Byrd's murder? How about three nails, like motive, means, opportunity? Those work. Let's have it. He set the bags on her desk. Can I get in on that? He asked and gestured to her coffee. Go. She rose, unsealed the first bag. Trueheart's writing it up, but I figured you'd want to see this part of it. That's a copy of recordings we found on the comp in her home office. Audio and video. They go back 10 months, and some of them are, we'll say, intimate. My young partner may have a permanent blush. From Gwen Huffman's phone. She labeled them, date, time, content, very organized. We got recordings of the originals for the record, since we couldn't bring anything in. The last ones dated the night of Byrd's murder. It's got the romance, the sex, the texts from Merritt Kane, and the ensuing argument, pretty heated, between Byrd and Huffman. You've got Huffman storming out and subsequently calling for a rapid to pick her up. Pick up a couple blocks from Byrd's residence. Since he'd previously experienced the bite of her visitor's chair, he stood and drank his coffee. She wiped her security feed for the night in question from 2200 to 2345. Covering her leaving to kill Byrd, returning to clean herself up, then leaving again to get to the compound for cover. We need EDD on that. Done. Trueheart took the original disc straight up. We had to risk she wouldn't look at that if she goes back to that location. That's the right call. Feeney will find the wipe data. She kept the key card, LT. We left it, but recorded it. She had it in her desk drawer. We found data on Byrd on her comp, copied that, disc in the next bag. Her background, her financials, her contacts, and a recording of Byrd's apartment inside, room by room. She plans. Wanted to study the space in case. Dallas, it looks to me like she was working out a way to snatch Byrd up, transport her to realignment. Huh. Sure, of course she was. Money in the bank. It looks like she planned to keep Byrd on the island. There's a lot more in the other bags on natural order, procedure, finances. And financially, we probably need an accountant, but it looks to me like they're not exactly hemorrhaging money, but they're oozing it. Eve nodded, jibes with Rourke's take. And Miriam felt the same. She's got calculations on how to generate more income. Gwen Huffman's a big factor. Blackmail. He raised his eyebrows. I'm not telling you anything you hadn't figured there. It's money. It's planning for the next stage. Blackmail's more insurance. Then there's the senior Huffmans, and she has a copy of their will. She's got documentation on her recruitment angles, names, locations. She pins Poe and a Michael J. Harstead at the halfway house as feeders. And there's a Denise Wexford at the Good Samaritan shelter as another of her feeders. We'll pick them up. All of them. A few hours yet, but we'll get them all. On the family front, she's got files on her brothers. Evidence the older one dips into the membership fund, and the next one has a taste for LCs. She calls the youngest one Mommy's fake boy, so she knows he's her half-brother, and she's stockpiling evidence he's gay. She's planning, laying groundwork for a coup. She's got a supply of sleep meds, heavy meds, liquid form, big supply, all prescribed by Oliver Huffman. Recruitment tool. Fuckers. Yeah, we've got the fuckers, Baxter. He glanced at her screen and the display of the compound with its hot spots. We're going tonight. We're going tonight. I'm going to take our end of the op for a spin in a hollow room. Just tighten it up where I can. Be ready. Oh, born that way, Lou. 21. She took her spin, programmed in the other teams, the backups, the takedown, the timing. By scaling Rourke's 4-minute lag to 4 seconds, she could run it through quickly, then have the computer calculate reality time. She ordered and reordered priorities on each run-through. Satisfied she'd closed any apparent holes, she briefed Whitney, and with his go, pulled in Lohenbaum and his SWAT team to handle Tribeca. The first phase. With Lohenbaum, she worked on the timing and movements of that area of the operation. A lot of kids, Lohenbaum. He nodded as they stood in the mock-up hollow of the block. She'd programmed the names of the residents and number of minors on each house. Understood. We'll have the child services reps you selected behind the line, and we'll get the kids to safety. You're sure about those reps? I got them from the head of Andidan, Rochelle Solid, and she's worked with these three people. Some of the women on the block will be like the two we have at Duckus, and some will be like Barbara Poole. Even the ones who don't want to be there may resist or run. Some may not be able to run if they have the shockers on, or their kids do. With Eve, Lohenbaum walked up and down the hollow block. We've got the neutralizing device Rourke built for that, Dallas. You've done all the work till now, even listing the target houses by probability of resistance. We'll handle the rest. Any adult males, if there, must be separated and contained. Some may have weapons, most will likely have comms. My data indicates most, if not all, of the male residents should be in the compound tonight, but he looked at her. Trust me and mine. You wouldn't be here if I didn't. I've got to get you on this because of the possibility of communication. That block needs to be shut down before we move on the rest. As they'd worked together before, he knew her mindset. And you're wishing like hell you could be two places at once, so you could be on this takedown while you're here coordinating the next. Make that about 10 places at once. Then she hissed out a breath. We've got the best people, top cops on every one of the ops. So, letting go, Lohenbaum. Good hunting. Same to you. I'll keep you in the loop all the way. She checked the time when he left. Shutting down the hollow, she started back to the conference room. She found Peabody and Rourke already setting up. You beat me to it. You've been doing about 6 dozen things at once, Peabody said. I figured I could get this going. With a little help.
Appreciate it.
She frowned at the device Rourke attached to the comp.
What's that?
A portable holo. We have one of those? I had it brought in. Hell, she thought, it was only Peabody in there. So she walked to Rourke, wrapped her arms around him for one precious moment, and stepped back when Peabody said, "Aw."
Keep your awes to yourself.
Loewenbaum and his team are heading out now. We've got FBI sitting just beyond the compound. Anyone comes out, they pick them up. She started to rub her eyes, but since they felt like sandpaper, dropped her hands again. We've got teams ready to pick up the Huffmans, Poe, Harstead, Wexford, and others. We pulled from special victims, and I brought in Detective Strong and her partner from illegals for those busts. She paused when Rourke handed her a glass.
What's this?
It's a protein drink, and it's chocolate. Don't bitch about it.
Fine.
Rochelle gave me names of CPS reps she knows and vouches for. They're with Loewenbaum. I've got more supporting the hit on HQ. Duckis is prepared to take any women and children who need sheltering. She glanced back at Rourke. Do they have room?
There could be a lot.
They'll make room. And when and if necessary, arrangements with other safe houses. Leave that one to them. Moira knows the system and they'll work it.
Okay, fine.
She drank without thinking about it. Then had to admit, not half bad. Abernathy swears their teams are solid. They'll have air and sea support, and they've agreed to hold until I give them the green. Same with the FBI on the farm team. Now she paced and drank. That's more problematic. It involves multiple states and locations, and it's so spread out. Lots of open land. Air support there, too, but we won't get all of them. Odds are low we'll get them all. And they'll be running with, basically, the shirts on their backs, Rourke reminded her. Things fall apart. The center cannot hold. That's Yates, and applies to this. There'll be no center, Eve, and the order falls apart. But he went to her. It's hard to have other people take control of what you can't do. Solid cops. Remember that. And here comes some of your own. Those solid cops filed in, and Jenkinson and his tie came directly to her. He held out a hand. Baffled, she shook it.
Okay, what for?
Whitney stopped by the bullpen to tell us you'd put in commendations for every one of us who worked on Cobb.
It matters, Lieutenant.
You earned it, Detective.
It matters, he repeated, and went to take a seat.
It really does, Peabody added. Thanks. Just take that happy energy into this briefing and beyond. Can you work the hollow thing?
Well, I've got it.
Rourke gave Peabody a pat on the shoulder. It won't, obviously, be full size, he told Eve, but it will be to scale. And since he's here, we'll have McNabb run the screen.
That'll work. I'm gonna...
She snapped to attention. Chief. Chief of Police Tibble came in with Whitney. Tall and lean in his dark suit, he crossed to her. I'm here to observe, Lieutenant, and offer any and all assistance as needed. I'll be joining this operation. His lips curved just a little as her face went instantly blank.
Outside the compound, with the commander, APA Rio, and other support. Your support and assistance is very much appreciated, sir. As long as I don't get in the way, he finished. I've studied your operational plans, Lieutenant. Very bold, very thorough. Let's make them work. Like Jenkinson, he walked away to take a seat. Eve spotted Mira.
Jesus Christ! Don't tell me you're planning to go on this!
Of course. Some of the prisoners may require immediate evaluation, medically and emotionally. She patted Eve's arm. I'll be well out of the way until needed.
Let it go, she told herself. Let it all go but this. She waited for Teasdale, Conroy, Rio, Rio's boss, and all the others, and realized too late she still had the room's AC on her menu. Coffee flowed like a rich, dark river. Sit or stand, but be quiet. Inspectors Abernathy and Jonas, Interpol, are on speaker, as are Special Agents Clyburn, Reese, Monica, Rosencroft, and Paulson, FBI. We'll coordinate with them on every step. Lieutenant Loewenbaum and his unit are even now converging on the block in Tribeca, while Special Agent Teasdale has agents outside the compound in Connecticut to pick up anyone who leaves. This will cut off any opportunity for communication back to the HQ, the island, the farm system, or the subjects who will be picked up in New York and elsewhere. This is a major, multi-pronged operation. We're gonna take it step by step. She started with Strong and the other detectives on the busts, and the search teams who would follow up at those locations. She had Interpol and the FBI brief on their areas, and stepped away to answer her comm. She stepped back in as they wound it up. Thank you. The first stage, Tribeca, is complete. The block and its residents are contained. She'd expected the cheer. She felt one inside herself and let it ride. Teasdale lifted a hand. Two male individuals have been detained after leaving the compound. They are being transported for questioning to FBI headquarters. So far, so good. Here's what we've got coming up. Rourke? The hollow of the compound spread at Eve's feet and got a lot of murmurs. Nice. Feeney grinned at it and slurped his coffee. McNabb, on screen. She picked up her laser pointer. We'll breach the walls at these locations. One team consisting of an ECOP and a detective or uniform at each. Rourke and I will go at the gate, and if successful, I'll give the go to the other breach teams. Each ECOP will carry a hand device, which, when the code is engaged, will shut down the security system for an area of 15 feet, not a millimeter more, or the system goes on alert. It will take 4 minutes before the code can be resent for the next 15 feet. It's down to 2 minutes, 10 seconds, Rourke told her. 2 minutes, 10. And she ran them through every step, assigned teams to the breach points, to the backup, to the specific targets and takedowns. When we hit the targets, Captain Feeney will jam the comms and open the gate. We can't risk doing this until we're inside and in position. When he jams the comms, Interpol and the FBI get the green. The teams in New York and elsewhere hit their targets. It would work, she thought. Timed right, it would all work. No one who is not on breach, backup, or takedown teams enters the compound until it's secure and contained. Exception for medical personnel if needed. I want anyone held in what we believe is a prison freed and taken to safety. I want you to look at this face. McNabb, bring up Fox. Ella Alice Fox, who risked a hell of a lot passing me a message. They abducted her. They have most certainly tortured her. She is being held against her will. Remember her face. Remember there will be others like her. Questions? There were a lot of them. She answered, or lobbed to Feeney or Teasdale or Rio. When the questions tapered off, she wound it up. Everyone, and that includes those who remain outside the compound during this operation, will wear vests. Everyone going in wears black will have night vision goggles. Everyone will have earbud comms and recorders. Every step of this is on record. As I said before, we don't know how many weapons may be inside. We don't yet know if they have armed foot patrols, human or droid. Stunners on medium for quick incapacitation. You're going to be fucking stealthy. She checked her watch. Compound teams, meet on garage level 1 at 2330. Be equipped, be geared up, be ready. Meanwhile, get some rack time if you can. Dismissed. Shelby hurried to her. You put me on the backup team on HQ. That's right. Do you have a problem with that? No, sir. She actually snapped to attention. I didn't expect, with my limited time in this division, to be part of this operation. Thank you, Lieutenant. Don't screw up and you'll be fine. That'll be my mantra. I have a question, sir, I didn't want to ask before. Go. Do you think Gwen knew all this? I mean about the human trafficking, the torture, the rapes, the slavery. She experienced some of the torture herself. Yeah, she knows. Nothing matters to her but her own comfort and position. We probably can't prove it, but she knows. I never would have thought that of her. I don't really know her anymore, but... Thank you, Lieutenant. Grab a little downtime. And stay sharp. Is that what you're going to do? Rourke asked as the room emptied. Grab some downtime. I've got too many irons in the fire for that. And why did I say that? Baffled, she dragged a hand through her hair. Why would anybody put irons in a fire? To keep them hot, I'd say. Oh, she considered. All right. I'll accept that one. I need to keep my irons hot. I'm too revved, she added before he could object. And I need to debrief Lohenbaum. I've got more data on Miriam Wilkie, and I need to prep for interviews with her and her father. Tonight. Hot iron. You strike then, right? You do indeed. I need to get my gear. So do you. You need to hit requisitions for Black and other shoes and... Rourke stopped her by tapping a finger to her lips. I'll have something appropriate brought in for both of us. I'm not wearing what I can finesse from your cop shop. Even in this, I have standards. That's your iron to fire. I'll have appropriately stealthy attire here for both of us by 8:30. I'll meet you then in your office. I'll be there. Alone, she looked at the board. We're coming to get you, Ella. Hang in. When she turned to leave, Lohenbaum, still in full gear, stepped inside. Quick work, LT. No weapons, he told her. A couple of the women, Poole being one, tried kitchen knives or skillets. No injuries. Three of the women and 5 of the kids had those goddamn tracker/shockers on. We had MTs transport one really pregnant one, to a medical facility. So, he sat, rolled his shoulders. I'll run it through for you and copy the recordings to you, but before we get to that, my teams want in on the HQ. We're wound up, pissed, and want in. You need to make room. I'll make room. By the time she dealt with all the irons, it was after 9. She stopped at the door to her office. Rourke sat at her desk, his pricey shoes up on it, the chair kicked back and his eyes closed. She started to step back out, ease the door shut. "Your stealth wear's on your miserable chair," he said. "You're late." "Couldn't be helped." He grabbed her hand, pulled her into his lap.
"Jesus, knock it off!"
"You'll have noted those remaining in your bullpen are doing exactly this. The others found somewhere else to snatch a bit of sleep. I also smelled pizza in there. Not a crumb in sight, but I smelled pizza. They ate, as you should. But since you've been going for near to 20 hours with barely any sleep, you need this more. 1 hour," he said. "Just shut it off for an hour. You'll be sharper for it."
"Maybe.
Let me shut the door." He just snuggled her in. "None of them care, Eve. Take an hour. Then we'll drag those bastards to the ground." She'd covered everything, she told herself. Gone over every step again and again. Consulted, briefed, answered, questioned. She could take an hour. She dropped into sleep like a rock in a well. When he woke her, she unwound herself, locked the door. Even before she turned back, she smelled the coffee and the pizza. "One slice," he said. "You'll say you don't want to feel full." She drew in those blessed scents as she stretched out the kinks. "You think of everything. I think of you." She met his eyes. "I know you do." Loose again, she ate the slice, drank the coffee. She had to admit as they changed clothes, she did feel sharper. She strapped on her weapon, her clutch piece, a combat knife. "I assume you have your own." "I do, and to make you feel better, Whitney authorized the stunner." And because she thought of him, because she knew him, she eyed him. "You've got more than a stunner on you." "Well, the stunner's authorized, so we have that." He wore black as she did, a long-sleeved tee, pants, thick-soled black boots. He handed her a thin cotton cap, then put on one of his own, tucked his hair up into it. It shouldn't have amazed her. He looked ridiculously sexy. "So this is how you looked when you robbed people blind." "We'll say this is often how I dressed for certain activities." She handed him a vest, took her own. "Let's move." As she passed through the bullpen, Peabody and some of the squad walked out of the locker room. They fell in line, got in the elevator. "Anybody else thinking breakfast beers after this bust?" Baxter slipped his hands in his pockets. "We could hit the blue line looking like a team of cat burglars." "Bus now, beer later," Eve said. "That's what I'm saying." In the garage, it surprised Eve to see Mira in the same cat burglar black. "You're not going in until—"
"No, of course not. But it would be foolish to wear a suit and heels at such a time."
"You're with the commander, the chief, Rio. Everyone else, into your assigned vehicles." She got into her own, settled on one of the drop seats. Ignoring the chatter, she went over every step again on the drive to Connecticut. She tapped her earbud. "Inspector Abernethy, we're at target."
"We're ready here."
"Special Agent Clyburn, on your go," came the response. "Breach teams, move into position." She got out, studied the wall. No lights on in the gatehouse. "Rourke and I secure that first." She gave him a nod. He did what he did with his device while she ticked the seconds off in her head. This point's clear. To her astonishment, he scaled the wall like a damn lizard, then reached down a hand for her. Up you come, Lieutenant. She took his hand and the boost from one of the backup team. Rourke leaped down, agile and quiet as a cat. She dropped down beside him. Sidestepping to the gatehouse, she waited for him to deal with the locks. Weapons drawn, they slipped inside. In the dim backwash of the security lights, she saw equipment, screens, a table, and some chairs. Clearing back, she scanned a small bathroom, a refreshment center. It's clear. We move on. 30 seconds more. Breach teams, first go. We'll be 15 feet ahead. Slow and steady, she thought, as they moved through the dark, stayed in the shadows. 30 feet, then 45. Rourke took a moment in the next timed gap, shut off their recorders. What the? I have to say it. My Christ, what a pair we'd have been. The absolute delight in his voice tickled her soft spots. You move like smoke, smoke with nerves of steel and unshakable focus. We'd have romped the globe, you and I, plucking every precious thing we wanted. What a pity we didn't meet in some lovely alternate world where you weren't a cop. Though amused, she gave him a dour stare. I'm a cop in all of them. You're likely right. And still. He sighed, re-engaged their recorders. And there's the mark. Moving on. 60 feet. 75. 90. Not a sign, not from any team of guards. They trust the system. Rourke shrugged. As really, under other circumstances, they should. By the time they'd crossed more than a football field with their backup team behind them, Eve had the main house in view. Lights off there, too. Off in every building so far. It's past 1 in the morning now, heading toward 2. You were right to wait until midnight to start this. We've got teams that have reached their targets, others approaching same. Takedown teams, move in. Move into target and hold. When they reached the second gate, Rourke shut down the system, eased it open enough for them to slide through single file. She could smell buoyant spring on the air from the flowers and thought of the women and the 2 girls working. We're coming, she thought, as she had with Ella. Nearly there. When they reached the veranda, she realized the humming in her head wasn't a brewing headache, but anticipation, like an engine idling fast for a race. In the silence, Rourke worked on the locks. She used hand signals to order the teams behind her to hold, and used them again to signal she and Rourke entered first, to hold. He eased both doors open, barely a whisper of sound. Nothing moved in the grand, wide entranceway. Ahead, stairs curved up, then split into a double staircase. We're in the main target. She kept her voice low as she moved forward. Feeney, shut it down. Abernathy, you're a go. Special agents, you're a go. Bus teams, go, go. All teams, go. We're full green. Air support flooded the compound with light. She took the stairs 2 at a time while teams cleared the main level. At the break, Rourke split off with his team, she with hers. He to Wilkie, she to the daughter. She wanted the daughter. Down the hallways, she signaled cops to the left or right to clear other rooms, to take occupants into custody. When she reached what she believed was Miriam's door, she found it locked. Oh yeah, this is yours, you bitch. She considered picking the lock, Then, as the first sounds, not alarms but shouting, came from outside, she stepped back. Getting a running start, she kicked it open. Lights flashed on in the room beyond a plush little sitting area. When Eve charged in, Miriam was out of bed and reaching into a drawer of her nightstand. "Pull a weapon out and I drop you. Please, pull a weapon out." "What are you doing? Are you out of your mind?" Eve recognized the red nightshirt as Silk when she spun Miriam around to cuff her. "Get your hands off me! Get out of my house!" "Miriam Wilkie, you're under arrest for the murder of Ariel Byrd, for the abductions of a number of human beings who will be named in this warrant, for the forced imprisonment of human beings, for accessory to rape, and other charges that will be included in your booking." "This is persecution for our faith." "Faith, my ass. Officer Shelby, please read Ms. Wilkie her rights and see that she is taken to one of the wagons we have waiting." "Yes, sir." She rushed out, listening to the reports through her earbud. She spotted Rourke's team dragging Wilkie out of his room. Behind them, Rourke had his arm around the shoulders of a woman.
"My girls, please, my girls."
The hat had obscured her face when she'd gardened, but Eve saw enough to recognize her. "You're safe now. They're safe now."
"He keeps them in the other wing, upstairs. The children are locked in at night. They're Cassie and Robin. Please, don't hurt them."
"No one's going to hurt them or you. Your name?"
"Fiona Wil-" "No, no. He makes me use his name, but I'm Fiona Vassar. He says I'm his breeding wife. My God, my babies."
"We'll get them out," Rourke murmured to her. "We'll bring them to you."
"He's a monster."
"Get her to Mira." "Cassie and Robin," she said, looking into Fiona's eyes. "I'm going to bring them to you. He'll never touch you or them again."
"I have a son, but they took him. He's two now. I don't know where."
"We'll find him. We'll find him." "Come now, Fiona. We'll get you away from this place. You and your girls. Come with me now." Rourke led her away, murmuring to her all the while.
"Clear it," Eve ordered. "Top to bottom. I want E-men to start on the electronics once it's cleared."
Wilkie, wearing only a long white robe, struggled against his restraints. His eyes, feral and wild, latched onto Eve's.
"You won't bring down the order. Our faith will remain unbroken. Our numbers will rise up and
save it," she snapped. "Get him out. He can spout his bullshit from a cell."
She left them to it, went outside to check on the progress.
"Dallas!"
She stopped when Detective Carmichael called out, and Eve waited while she led the woman to her.
"She was pretty insistent about seeing you," Carmichael said. "We got her out of a room behind the kitchen. The shrieking hag of a bitch with her fucking stabbed Santiago."
Eve held up a hand. "How bad?"
"Opened up his arm pretty damn good, boss. MTs have him. And we got her. Gail fucking Steinberg. I want to check on my partner, but I wanted to bring her over first."
"Ella Alice Fox," Eve said, and held out a hand.
"You know me. You know me. You came."
"I know you, Ella. And we're here because you didn't give up." Ella threw her arms around Eve.
"There are so many of us. So many like me."
"I know. We've got you now."
22. It took just under 2.5 hours to fully contain the compound. It would take days, very likely weeks, to fully process all the people inside, to record or confiscate the evidence, to interview, to find shelters for those held against their will, to do medical and psych evals, to deal with the minors. and the 106, at current count, women in various stages of pregnancy. She toured the torture chamber, the term fit of what had been the prison. Exam and treatment rooms held tables fitted with restraints, with two containing shock therapy devices. One room offered a sensory deprivation chamber. Locked cabinets contained drugs, legal and illegal, pressure syringes and surgical tools, test kits, and shock sticks. On the floors above, 10 by 10 rooms served as cells. Windowless, a single steel door, a single cot fitted with restraints, a toilet, a sink, a wall screen. She stood in one of those rooms now. She knew what this was like. Richard Troy had tied her to the bed sometimes, had often left her in the dark. She knew what it was like to lie there shivering, helpless, hopeless. When Rourke found her there, he put his hands on her shoulders, kissed the top of her head. She didn't bother to object. At least I usually had a window. The team's got 9 people out of here. 6 women and 1 man in the cells, 2 guards, 1 male, 1 female. The female's the mother Catherine Gina told me about. Catherine Duplay. She grabbed a shock stick and resisted. In the struggle, she got a good taste of her favorite form of torture. You're a little disappointed you weren't the one to give her that taste. I can't deny it. We've cleared the buildings, the housing units. Most people just gave up. Sure, there was some running and screaming, but most just put their hands in the air. When you're walking from a sound sleep by law enforcement pointing weapons in your face, hands up is survival. That, and most didn't have weapons. It's gonna turn out you had to reach a certain level to get one of those fucking shock sticks or a stunner. A few had knives. And how is Santiago? 22 stitches. Some muscle involved there, and a couple weeks of desk duty. He's the worst of it. Some nicks, some bruises. We got lucky. No. It annoyed him enough to turn her around to face him. Lucky my ass, Lieutenant. You did the job step by step. This could have been a war zone. You made sure it wasn't. The war's not over. Abernethy reports the island is mostly contained, but mostly isn't all. It's a lot bigger than this compound. Same goes for the farm system. On the other hand, she added as they walked out, the Huffmans are in custody. So are Poe and Harstead, Wexford. I'm having Gwen brought in for another round. I'd really like to work something on her that sticks, but I don't see that happening. We've got the pools. You have the Wilkies. Yeah, we've got the fucking Wilkies. Her face went fierce. Every one of them. Outside, lights lit the compound like noon. Cops swarmed everywhere, clearing buildings, searching for hidey holes, grid searching the grounds. She signaled to the crime scene van. It's all yours. I expected to find you exhausted, Rourke commented. And you're the opposite. Got another wind. I don't know which number wind this is, but I've got it. Teasdale and I work some things out. I get to interview Wilkie before she takes him. I get Miriam Wilkie. Then she'll toss in the federal charges, but I get her first. I get Piper, the Huffmans, Poe, Harstead, Wexford, the Pools, and so on. Everyone will do their federal rounds, but first they're mine. The FBI wouldn't have this without you. I wouldn't have it without them, so that's a wash. Our sweepers and EDD will work with the feds to process this place and the facilities outside the complex. Our PA will work with federal prosecutors. Then there's the international aspect. But right now, I'm focusing on two murders and the abductions and enforced imprisonment in my city. Medical vans worked on site to treat and evaluate. Police wagons loaded prisoners. Eve spotted the gate guard, in restraints, sporting a black eye, and felt another little lift to her spirit. He spotted her, too. He elbow-jabbed the cop, loading him into the van, and rushed Eve like a bull. She didn't bother to reach for her weapon, held up a hand to stop anyone else from stunning him, and let him come. All she had to do was sidestep the charge and trip him, but the added uppercut gave her an even higher lift. He fell like a tree and skidded a foot or so on his face.
We'll bury you, bitch! We'll bury you!
You're the one eating dirt, asshole. Add another charge of assaulting an officer and resisting arrest to his slate, she told the uniforms who dragged him up again. Big man, the uniform snarled. Had a stunner and hit my partner with a stream, then grabbed his own kid, 8 years old, and tried to use the kid as a shield. Kid gave him the shiner. Good for him. Her, the uniform corrected, and muscled the guard into the van. At the gates, Eve saw Whitney conferring with Teasdale, and Nadine, outside those gates, doing a one-on-one with Tibble, with the compound, the activity at his back. Commander, Special Agent, the compound is secure. Joint teams are processing. At last count, we have 632 adults and 1,418 minors moved or being moved out. APA Rio and the reps from the Federal Prosecutor's Office, the state's attorney's office, are running tabs on the number of arrests and charges. Child Protective Services is conducting interviews and evaluations. Whitney held up a hand to stop Eve's report.
Do you wish to remain here, overseeing this cleanup operation?
Sir, I'd prefer to call my division back into Central and start the interview process.
Done. This was good work, Lieutenant. Down the line, good work.
Thank you, sir. I'll remain here, Teasdale told her, and touch base with you later today. She paused as Conroy raced over.
They found him! Tony, Agent Quirk! He's alive! In bad shape, but alive!
Where? Teasdale demanded.
The farm system, somewhere in Iowa. They had him in a cell, shackled in a cell. Had a shock collar on him. Beaten, tortured, but alive.
He turned to Eve, held out a hand.
That's good news, Conroy.
She shook it.
He's a friend of mine. He's got internal injuries, and the medical I talked to said without treatment, he wouldn't have lasted another 48. He's alive because we pushed on this tonight. I thought it was a mistake. I was wrong.
I've been wrong once or twice myself. I need to speak with Nadine, Commander, then I'll be at Central.
We'll need to schedule a media conference later this morning, Whitney told her. Kyung will coordinate with you. No good deed, he added.
Yes, sir. She walked over to Nadine, who'd concluded her one-on-one with Tibble.
I really need to get in there, Dallas. They won't even let our choppers do flyovers.
I'm not in charge of that. But I'll give you a one-on-one here and now with as much detail as I'm able.
I'll take it.
Nadine angled her head, narrowed her foxy eyes.
Did you manage to grab 8 hours of sleep somewhere? You look a hell of a lot fresher than you did this afternoon.
Kicking ass is better than sleep.
Apparently.
Nadine signaled to her camera. 2 hours later, On a morning that dawned with a steady spring shower, Eve sat at her desk. She pumped coffee as she worked on her strategy. Rourke, who'd stated firmly he was in for the duration, had gone off to find some quiet place to start his wheels and deals. She told her detectives to grab sleep, a shower, a change of clothes, food, whatever they needed, and to report back to the bullpen by 0900. More hot irons to handle, she thought. 20 minutes before deadline, she decided to shower off the night herself and start fresh. As she started out, Shelby started in with a garment bag. "Why aren't you at home sleeping?" Eve asked. "Tried, sir. Really couldn't. I'm hoping you'll clear me to hang in observation during some of the interviews."
"You earned it."
"Thanks. A Mr. Somerset just brought this in for you. He said Rourke asked him to bring you a change of clothes." Eve studied the bag. "Sure he did." She knew the bony cadaver went into her closet, but she didn't need to be reminded before interview. "Lieutenant, I want to say my ambitions don't aim toward a gold shield. I like the uniform."
"I know."
"Oh, well, good. I didn't want to disappoint you. Shelby, you're a good cop and an asset to this division. You keep at it. You continue to work your way up to being as good, as solid, as exemplary as Officer Carmichael, you'll be an even bigger asset to this division and the department." "That's exactly where my ambitions aim, Lieutenant." Eve took the garment bag, headed into the locker room and the narrow closet with the piss trickle of almost hot water that served as one of the showers. Despite the facilities, she did feel fresher. And when she opened the garment bag, she put aside the fact that Somerset's fingers had been on her clothes, including her underwear, and let herself bask in the other fact. She saw exactly what Rourke had intended when he'd ordered this outfit. Black pants, straight line, and short black boots. A white shirt as crisp as an alpine breeze. Black vest, not a jacket, so her weapon remained visible. Leather vest, no frills, all business. Dressed, she stepped out and saw Peabody in the process of removing her pink coat. No pink otherwise, not even her usual boots, but a dark, murderous red shirt with a thin gray and red scarf used as a kind of tie. Gray pants, scarred black boots. No jacket, Eve noted. Weapon visible. "Got 2 hours in my own bed," she told Eve. "McNabb bunked up in EDD. They're really slammed. I hit the espresso, just a hit. I learned my lesson there. Feel ready." "Good, because we're having our interviewees brought up to the boxes at 900. She checked the time. "So they've got 10 minutes. She turned because she recognized the familiar click of heels coming toward the bullpen. "All the interviews will be on record," she said as Mira came in. "You didn't have to come in this early to observe."
"Eve, I went to medical school and I raised children. It's hardly the first time I've worked on little sleep. I had an opportunity to speak with several of the women and more than a few men who'd been held one way or the other. I'm here because I need to be."
"Understood. Appreciated. Peabody, would you see that observation is stocked with decent coffee and the tea Dr. Mira likes?"
"Oh, and that is appreciated."
Jenkinson and Reinecke came in next. Jenkinson's tie, a flaming orange, had little red devils all over it, the kind with horns and pointy end tails and snarling grins. "Really? Today? Especially today, Lou, because if there's a hell,
Those bastards are gonna fry in it. But first we're gonna lock them in cages.
Did you read our report? Reinicke asked. One of the kids we got out was locked in his room in one of the apartments, restrained to the bed. Gay kid. And he said they were gonna send him to the island for realignment today if we hadn't come. 15 years old. His own parents, Dallas. His own mom and dad.
I read it. Let me see the socks. That made him grin as he hiked up his pants leg. Black socks with one red pitchfork-wielding devil on the side.
Okay, just... For fuck's sake, Santiago, you're on medical leave.
No, sir.
Face mutinous, left arm in a sling, he stood his ground.
There's no talking to him, Carmichael told her.
Then I won't waste my breath.
She waited for the rest, including Rio and the other lawyers, the feds. Feeney and Rourke came in together.
Okay, boys and girls. Hell of a job all around. We're gonna do the same today and nail this shut. Everyone will be fitted with earbuds. Rather than Feeney trying to catch you up on EDD's findings, and they're still coming in, you'll have an EDD officer fill you in on your specific subject and continue to inform you as data comes in.
My boys are humping it, and the feds aren't slackers.
Rio and the other prosecutors will work with you on charges and potential deals if such deals help fry bigger fish. Remember, after dealing with us and whatever deals are or aren't struck, these subjects then face federal charges. Nobody walks away from this.
Dr. Mira will observe. Peabody and I will rotate between Stanton Wilkie, Miriam Wilkie, and Lawrence Piper. Jenkinson and Reinicke take the Huffmans and Gail Steinberg.
Come on, Dallas, I should...
Before Santiago got the rest out, Eve froze him with a stare. We're charging Steinberg with attempted murder of a police officer.
You're that police officer. You don't interview her.
Got you covered, Santiago, Reinicke told him. We'll lock her down.